Welcoming all of you for Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Rajgopal Prabhuji. Let me give a little bit introduction of Prabhuji. He is very sincere and enthusiastic devotee who come into Krishna consciousness in 1998. He has graduated in medicine and was initiated by His Grace Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He actively serves in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple Chowpatty and regularly gives lecture all over in Mumbai and Goa, enthusiasm many conditional souls to take up the path of Krishna consciousness. He is one of the greatest contributors to Krishna Conscious Society, has been in the field of book distribution. In his YouTube videos, he has exposed the various myths of Bhagavad Gita that people have. Number one, Bhagavad Gita is meant for old people only, and number two, it is meant only for Hindus, and it is bad luck to have Bhagavad Gita or Mahabharat pictures in one's home. He by his simple, convincing and authority answers backed by scriptures, has been successfully able to distribute books wherever he goes. He is the Mumbai Vaisheshika Prabhu. He has delivered many lectures in Marathi too. Now Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 12th chapter, 26th verse onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call? Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I'll hand out the call.
Hare Krishna, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all for inviting me for this Sangha and allowing me to give a class. Am I audible and visible properly to everyone?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, we'll start the class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Niritam Yena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Satyakam Yena Bhutale Swayam Bhuso Tadamayam Dadati Sukadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Srita Padakamaram Sri Guru Vaishnavamsham Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsham Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishna Vitare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvisheshunyadi Paschadeshtarani Vancha Kalpatrivesha Kripasimhavaya Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Rupesha Gopikakanta Radhakanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Sri Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. I will just Hare Krishna. So I'll just close the door so that they will not disturb me. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from 4th canto, chapter 2. Am I audible?
Good.
Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So today we are reading from 4th canto, Prabhuji. Chapter number 12. Chapter number 12, text number 26. Anasitam te sidur, pritrubhir, anner apriyanga karhichit. आतिष्ट जगतां वन्द्यं तदिष्णो परमं पदं. Translation and Purport by Prabhupada. Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Lok, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj went to perform austerities, he was very determined to achieve a post never dreamed by his forefathers. His father was Uttanapad. His grandfather was Manu. And his great-grandfather was Lord Brahma. So Dhruva wanted a kingdom even greater than Lord Brahma could achieve. And he requested Narad Muni to give him facility for achieving it. The officiate of Lord Vishnu reminded him that not only his forefathers, but everyone else before him was unable to attain Vishnu Lok, the planet where Lord Vishnu resides. This is because everyone within this material world is either Karmi, Jnani or Yogi. But there are hardly any pure devotees. The transcendental planet known as Vishnu Lok is especially meant for devotees, not for Karmi, Jnani or Yogi. Great rishis or demigods can hardly approach Brahma Lok. And as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Lok is not permanent residence. But Brahma's duration of life is so long that it is difficult to estimate even the duration of one day in his life. And yet, Lord Brahma also dies, as do the residents of his planet. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 16 says, A Brahma Bhuna Lokan Punar Avartyuna Arjuna. Except for those who go to Vishnu Lok, everyone is subjected to the four principles of material life, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. The Lord says, Yad dattvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. The planet from which one's going, no one returns in my supreme abode. Bhagavad Gita 15.6. Dhruva Maharaj was reminded, You are going in our company to that planet from which no one returns to this material world. Material scientists are attempting to go to the moon and other planets, but they cannot imagine going to the topmost planet Brahma Lok, for it is beyond their imagination by material calculation. Traveling at the speed of light, it would take 40,000 years to reach the topmost planet. By mechanical processes, we are unable to reach the topmost planet of this universe. But the process called Bhakti Yoga, as executed by Maharaj Dhruva, can give one the facility not only to reach other planets within this universe, but also to reach beyond this universe to the Vishnu Lok planet. We have outlined this in our small booklet called Easy Journey to Other Planets. Hare Krishna. So, this fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is entitled, which gives the creation of the fourth order, which is entitled Creation of the Fourth Order, and this 12th chapter specifically, which is entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. It speaks about Dhruva Maharaj's achieving the final destination. If you read the verse carefully, this verse is spoken by Vishnu Dutta, who has come to take Dhruva Maharaj back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. And they are saying here that neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. Does it mean that no one before Dhruva Maharaj or his ancestor had ever gone to the spiritual world. When I was reading this, I was thinking, how it is possible that only Dhruva Maharaj is getting chance to go back to the spiritual world. But when I read the whole history of Dhruva Maharaj, they are talking of taking Dhruva Maharaj to a place called a Dhruva Loka, which was specifically meant or designed or created by Lord Vishnu for Dhruva Maharaj. So in that sense, nobody has gone before that place where Vishnu Nathas are taking Dhruva Maharaj. So they are correct in one sense, because this is the place which is specifically meant for him, because he had desired it. And Dhruva Loka, by the way, when I did little research, I found out Dhruva Loka is a part of Vaikuntha Loka. Even though it is situated within this boundary of this world, it is doesn't counted as a part of material world. It is spiritual world only. It doesn't get destroyed even after annihilation. In fact, even the planet of Lord Brahma gets annihilated after Pralaya, authentic Pralaya, when the final annihilation happens, but Dhruva Loka remains as it is. It never gets destroyed even after the annihilation of all material creation. That is the beauty of Dhruva Loka. And in Dhruva Loka, there is also milk ocean, Shirodak Sagar. And under Shirodak Sagar, Shirodakshaya Vishnu is situated, or he remains there and always gives the benediction, always gives the blessing, always gives the darshan to Dhruva Maharaj. So that is the place where Dhruva Maharaj went after quitting the body. Another thing, this pastime is very important to learn many things about Dhruva Maharaj. If you see, Dhruva Maharaj had a darshan of Lord Vishnu even when he was a 5-year-old small child. So Dhruva Maharaj had darshan of Lord Vishnu at the age of 5 years, still he didn't went back toward it immediately. It's not that we had a darshan of the Lord and we immediately can move ahead or proceed towards back to God. Why? Because Dhruva Maharaj had expressed a desire to have something else in his life. Even though, as we all know, Dhruva Maharaj wanted the kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, that is Lord Brahma. Prabhupada also mentions in purport. So Dhruva Maharaj wanted that kingdom, and even though Dhruva Maharaj was desirous of that, after getting darshan of Lord Vishnu, he changed his desire. And we have this famous verse from Padma Purana where it says that Kachan Vichinnan Api Divya Ratnam Swamin Kritartha Varam Nayachi. That, my dear Lord, I have received the valuable jewel of your darshan, your audience. I don't want the broken pieces of glasses of kingdom of this world. But the Supreme Lord, he said, no, no, no. You have desired that, so I will have to fulfill that desire. Even though Dhruva Maharaj refuses it later on, but no, 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 I don't want that. It's very important, we can learn from this, is that we have to have a right kind of desire. Desires are very important. You can't say, no, 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 now I don't want. No, you have desired it, it will be served to you. Just like if you go to a restaurant, and after going to a restaurant, you order something. Let's say you order some soup as a starter. But it takes a long time for the soup to come. And then you change your mind and say, no, now bring a pizza. And when you say, bring pizza, that time soup comes. And you say, no, no, I don't want this. You can't say like that, I don't want this. No, he said, you have ordered it before, so you will have to take it. Similarly, when we desire something, and later on when we realize that, no, that is not good desire for me, or when we come to our senses and we think that, no, I should change my desire. That time, because that desire has been registered, you have already given an order, it is very difficult to rectify or to change the order. Whatever your order letter, it will be served to you. But whatever we have ordered beforehand, that will also come back to us. So this first time of Guru Maharaj, even though he had darshan of Lord Vishnu at very young age, and he said later on that, I don't want now the kingdom. Lord Vishnu said, no, you will have to take a kingdom, rule it. But because of your devotional service, I can guarantee you that after ruling for so many years, some 30,000 years, you will remember me throughout your ruling and also come back to me after you complete your life in this world. The right kind of desires are very much important, and desires are very much required. Just like there is a story that one person, he goes to the forest and he's alone, tired and too much exhausted. So he goes and sees one tree nearby and sits under the tree. And he's tired now, thirsty also, hungry also. And under that shade of the tree, he just thinks, oh, I wish I could get a fresh, cold water to drink. And lo and behold, immediately in front of him, the cold water jug filled comes. He was surprised. He looks here and there to find out who has got it, but didn't understood who has got it. He drank that. And the next desire came into his mind, oh, I wish I could have nice, sumptuous, 8-course meal. And lo and behold, immediately that 8-course meal manifested in front of him. So he was surprised and he didn't understand that how that meal had come. Then he started gradually understanding the tree underneath which he is sitting is most probably the desire fulfilling tree. They call it Kalpavrksha. So then he ate that prasad, he ate that food, lunch, was completely satisfied. And then he said, I wish after having such a heavy meal, I can just lie down for some time. And immediately a soft bed manifested in front of him and he slept. But he overslept, and by the time he got up, it was dark. It was sunset already. So inside the jungle, inside the forest, it's sunset, he was scared. Immediately the thought came to mind, what if the tiger comes? And as soon as he thought of that, immediately tiger manifested. And tiger pounced on him. So even though he had the desire, he didn't know how to have the right kind of desire. Even though he had that desire fulfilling thing with him. So Dhruva Maharaj story also illustrates that we have to have right kind of desires in order to progress in the spiritual path in a proper way. Then, why did Dhruva Maharaj didn't went to back to Godhead? Because it was not right time for him to go back to Godhead. He has to fulfill his responsibilities in this world properly before entering the spiritual world. So, at the proper time, proper thing has to be done. Just like our Varnashram system is designed very nicely. The Brahmacharya ashram or the first phase of life is called Brahmacharya, where you are more inclined towards gaining a knowledge. Because that is even psychologically also it is proven. Our brain is in developing stage, so it has a facility or capacity also to gain more and more knowledge. Then comes the next life where the next phase of life where we, based on that knowledge, start earning something. Because earth means money, which is very important for us to survive in this world, to function in this world. actually, according to Mahabharata also and Chanakya also, the earth is the basis of whatever is happening in this world. The earth is very important, so we earn that. Then we expand the family, get married, and then comes next is Vanaprastha, where automatically the involvement, because the body is also not moving up, body is also dwindling, automatically the involvement of the person in active life gradually comes down, it decreases, and moves on to the next phase, where he retires from this active involvement. That is one person. And then last is sannyas, which few people take. But the point is that our whole life or our cycle is also designed of doing the proper thing at the proper phase of life. So similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted to, Krishna wanted Dhruva Maharaj to also go through the proper phases of life. So even after having darshan of Lord Vishnu at an early age, still Dhruva Maharaj didn't went back to God immediately, because that was not the right time. He has not had experienced this world. He has not had realizations yet. So renunciation of the world comes when we have proper organic dealing with this world, where we come to the stage where we automatically are able to relinquish the connections with this world. Then only when once we go back to Godhead, we can actually not desire anything of this world or desire to come back to this world again. So the living entity, just like the example is given, if you take a coconut, and if the coconut is green, and you break it, or if coconut, even if you remove the outer part of coconut and break it, if the coconut pulp is attached to the hard shell, it is very difficult to remove that coconut pulp. But when same coconut gets dried up, it automatically, the pulp gets detached from the hard shell. And that time when you break the coconut, you can easily get that pulp outside. Similarly, attachment to this world is like any in our phase of life, is initial phases, it's like that green coconut where pulp is very much attached to the hard shell. But as we progress with proper understanding of the world, proper understanding of the life, proper understanding of the self, then gradually, we develop into such a stage where the inside pulp automatically become detached from the hardship. And when it becomes detached, we can easily take it out. So Dhruva Maharaj has, at the proper age, at ripened age, when he has completely gone through different phases of life and he has moved with a proper responsibility, proper mood, then when you are ready, that time only the Vaikuntha Viman came to take him back to God. So devotee doesn't mean that I don't want to do my responsibility. I don't want to do my role in this world. Dhruva Maharaj himself, as a king, he had played his role very nicely. Another important thing from this pastime is that even though Dhruva Maharaj had the darshan of Lord Vishnu in the very young age and he was very pure devotee, exalted devotee, still when his brother Uttam got killed, he became an angry. So that this is another very important point, that as a devotee doesn't mean we are hard-hearted. We still have an emotions. So as a devotee, we have emotions and we have to accept those emotions, have to work on those emotions. We can't become hard-hearted, because Krishna is known as Navaneeta Chora, one who steals the Navaneeta means makhan, one who steals the yogurt or the butter, one steals the butter, and he wants our heart to become like a butter so that he can steal it, steal that heart.
So we are working or doing devotional service with the sole purpose of making the heart soft like butter, where Krishna himself can come and steal it. So while doing devotional service, what is the butter heart? Butter heart also means the heart filled with emotions. It's not the heart which is hard-hearted. Dhruva Maharaj, even though he was a great devotee, still he had an emotion. He became angry, he became sad at the demise of his brother. And he started taking revenge towards who were the culprits. Started killing them. Started exhibiting anger. Someone might say, how come a devotee becoming angry? It's not aligned with what a pure devotee should be. But no. Anger, sadness, happy, loving, these emotions are there in everyone. We as a living entity, we should accept it. We are also human beings. And as a human being, even if we are trying to become a devotee, we cannot deny these emotions. Emotions has to be analyzed properly. If we deny emotions, if we try to suppress our emotions, those emotions come out in deformed format somewhere else. That's why it's very much important for us, even when we try to become devotee, not to deny the emotions, not to suppress the emotions, but work and accept the emotions and work on those emotions and channelize those emotions. So Dhruva Maharaj, he got angry and started indiscriminately killing the yakshas. That time when it was too much, that time Manu, his grandfather Manu, appeared on the scene and he told him how it is not proper to kill those who are not responsible for the protection. And Dhruva Maharaj gave the difference between devotee and ordinary person. As the devotee, Dhruva Maharaj immediately controlled his emotions. Immediately angry. No good advice is registered. Even somebody who is our dear wisher try to give us good advice, but when we are under that influence of anger, too much anger, it doesn't register. We don't accept that. So, Jyoti, as Dhruva Maharaj, he was able to control the emotion properly. So, he could take care of the emotion properly. That is different. So, we, by becoming a devotee, also should be able to channel and time required to meet him. Here, in our control the emotion, we should be also able to control the emotion. That doesn't mean deny or suppress the emotion. Again, I'm telling you, it is about how we channelize emotion. That's the important thing. So, here, in this verse, the Lord is going to back the body and the Vishnupal actually in that you will be able to live the eternity. Prabhupada is a very important thing for us. He said, the topmost planet in this world is for the moon. But even on Brahmaloka also, it is not free from these four things which are seen in this material creation. Janma, Murtu, Jara, Vyadhi. Birth, old age, disease, and death. These are common in everywhere, in all planets of the creation, material creation. This is Abrahma Bhumanaluka. From the beginning to the end. And I was just reading one story from Mahabharata. It clearly depicts that whoever you may be, you will be suffering from this kind of miseries which are there in this world. So the story goes, when Pandavas were given Indraprastha to rule, that time, one day Krishna comes to just visit Pandavas. All Pandavas are there. Krishna along with Arjun, they visit one place nearby. And they were just sitting at the edge of the forest. And suddenly one Brahman appears. And this Brahman says, I am very hungry. But the unique nature of my hunger is that no one has been able to satisfy me fully. So I request you, I beg an alms to you, that you do something which will satisfy me once. So that time, Arjuna asked, by the way, who are you? What is your identity? And he said, I am Agni, the fire god. He said, what do you want exactly? He said, I want to burn this thunder forest. He said, why don't you burn the thunder forest? He said, because that is my remedy. Remedy, remedy for what? What? Why you are injecting? He said, I tried it many times, but Indra comes and showers the rain, so I am not able to burn it. He said, but what is the reason? Why you burn it? So he told one story. He said, there was one king called Shvetaki, and this king had an the Yajna Sutra. He was doing a lot of fire sacrifices. And he was doing fire sacrifices continuously, non-stop, one after another. So the priest of the king got so, because when you do fire yajna, there was a smoke. So the smoke is to go into their eyes and cause a lot of irritation. And smoke is to go into their ear, smoke is to go into their nose, smoke is to go into their mouth. So they got so frustrated because of that whole yajna sutra, continuous non-stop yajna. They said to the king that, sorry, we can't do it further. He said, no, I want to do yajna for 100 years. They said, we are fed up. We are giving up. And they just walked off. So the king was frustrated. He said, I want to do it, but these people are not cooperating. My Purohits are not cooperating. My rishis are not cooperating. So he goes and begs to them, please come back. They said, we are not going to come back. He said, see, if I fail to follow my dharma of serving you, I will not be responsible. You people will be responsible. Why? Because you are not cooperating for the yajna. They said, no, we are tired of it. Our bodies are no more supporting for the yajna. We are not going to come for your yajna. We will not do yajna. He said, give me permission then that I can go to someone else and request that person to become the priest and do my yajna. He said, okay, give you permission, go. He goes and he asks many brahmanas, but because of his reputation and the history that other previous brahmanas got fed up and got so much tired by doing yajna. So everybody, they started refusing. He said, no, we will not come. He again comes back to his original brahmana and he requested them, please, can you help me out? That time, again they refused. They said, no, we can't do it. Sorry. Then they said, at least tell me, to whom should I approach? They said, go to Lord Shiva. He will solve your problem. He goes to Lord Shiva and goes to Himalaya and started doing tapasya. Now tapasya was standing on his legs, with his hands raised up, looking upward, and constantly chanting the name of Lord Shiva. He was, while doing that, eating once in a 14 days, 15 days, small, some fruit kind of thing. After 6 months of his tapasya, Lord Shiva got so pleased, he appeared in front of him. He said, I'm so happy. I'm pleased with you. Ask for the benediction. He said, I want to do yajna, and my brahmanas, they are refusing to become a refuge, to be one who can chant mantra and give an offering. So I want you to come and become a refuge of my yajna. So Lord Shiva said, see, for me to come, you have to fulfill one condition. So what is the condition? He said, for 12 years, follow Brahmacharya and ignite a fire and start pouring ghee into the fire non-stop. There should be non-stop stream of ghee falling into the fire for 12 years. So the fellow said, okay, I'll do it. So he goes back, follows Brahmacharya and started pouring the ghee non-stop inside Yajna Kunda. For 12 years, he poured the ghee. And when he completed that, he again goes back to Lord Shiva. He said, done your condition. This time Lord Shiva says, see, there is one thing, I am not a Brahman. So according to Vedas, the adhikar, the right who can perform the yajna is given to Brahman only. So I am not a Brahman. But there is one expansion of mind on the earth planet called Durvasa Muni. He is a Brahman. I will ask him to become Prathvish for you. He can perform yajna for you. He said, okay, do that. So Durvasa Muni was called and was explained the situation. So Durvasa Muni goes. He started performing yajna. For 100 years, he was able to complete his whole desire, complete his desire of doing the yajna for 100 years. But the problem was, after having pouring the for the key for 12 years non-stop in that yajna finger, and then 100 years yajna, a lot of ghee was poured into, the fire god Agni Dev got sick. And his power of digestion went down. That's called Mandagni. So he could not digest. He became pale in color. He lost his luster. He lost his appetite. He lost his strength. So there, even the demigod also has sometimes the problem of disease. Janma Mrtu Jara Vyadi. So Vyadi not only happens to the human being, Vyadi even happens to the universe. So this fellow, he was now upset with his power, fire of digestion. He goes to Brahma. And Agni says to Brahma that, my dear sir, this is a problem. Tell me some remedy. So he needs a doctor. So Brahmaji closes his eyes. And he said, there is one remedy for you. There is one forest called Khandav Prastham. And in that forest, there are a lot of living entities are staying. You go and burn that forest with the living entity. And the fat of living entity which will be burned, along with there are many medicinal herbs into that forest. When that will be burned, you will eat them, Ashna. You will eat them, that means burn. That time your health will restore back to normal. So Agni said, okay, I'll do that. Brahma also, the last time when demigods requested you to burn that, when a lot of demons were staying there, you did that same thing, you go and do it now also. So he goes there and starts burning. But as soon as he starts burning, Indra immediately started sending a rain and he could not burn. And the reason was, Indra's friend Takshak was staying in that place. So Indra wants to have that friendship and help the friend. That's why he was disturbing it. So then again he tried it. Again it happened. Again he tried it. Again it happened. So he got frustrated. So he goes back to Brahma and he says that, I have tried it many times. It's not happening. That time Brahma sat in meditation and opened, after some time opened eyes and said, see, you are trying to burn it, but Indra is trying to stop you from burning because his friend Takshak is in that forest. Don't worry, you have to wait for the remedy. He said, what does it mean? He said, in future, when Nar Narayan Rishi will incarnate on the earth, that time they will be able to help you to burn that forest. So, even though your powerful demigod, it's not that every disease has immediate remedy. Sometimes we have to tolerate the disease. We have to undergo the suffering. At a human level, undergoing the suffering is burning our bad karma. So, it takes time. Not immediately everything happens. Not that instantly things should be done okay or things should be rectified. sometimes you have to allow the time to pass. And when proper time comes, that time it works. So many times I have also seen a devotee sick, has taken a lot of medicine, gone to allopathy, homeopathy, Ayurveda, naturopathy, different places, different people, astrology, whatnot. But nothing was helping. The devotee is still sick. After many years, he again tries the same person who had already tried before, and suddenly it works. And he starts getting the results. What is, why it happens? Because the proper, even though he was taking the medicine, but the proper time had not come. Now when proper time had come, it worked. So the only medicine factor is not there, but the combination of proper time also has to be there. So then Lord Brahma said, you have to wait. When Krishna and Arjun, who are none other than Nar and Narayan, when they appeared in this world, he again goes back to Brahma and said, now I think they have come. Brahma says, yeah, they have come, go now. He comes there and he requested Krishna and Balaram to help him in this situation. So that time, interesting thing, even Krishna was there, Arjuna was there, he didn't immediately say, okay, we'll help you. What do you want? We'll do that. It's not like that he immediately said it, immediately agreed to it. No. Arjun said, I'm ready to help you out. But there is one problem. What is the problem? If see, then you are going to burn this forest, Indra is going to come, and Indra will not come alone. He'll come along with demigods, associates, to fight back. When he comes to fight back, I don't have proper food, Gandhi, that I can fight with. So you have to give me that. Apart from that, there has to be quiver which can supply unlimited number of arrows. That also has to be there. Otherwise, I'm not able to fight. And third thing, if they come, when I want to fight with them, I should have proper chariot. So I don't have chariots, they will give me that. So Arjuna wanted to help, but Arjuna was very practical. He said, I don't have resources. She asked for the resources. So then, we want to help someone, it's very important that we should not just help him on the basis of emotion. No, I will help you out. We have to calculate whether am I in position to help this person? Do I have proper resources to help this person? So having proper resources or getting proper resources are very important. So Arjuna asked for the resources. And Agni at that time invoked Varun, another demigod, powerful demigod. And he asked Varun that one king named Soma had given you this bow, arrow and chariot. Can you give me? He said, why? He said, I want to give it to Arjuna so that he can do my mission. So that time Arjuna was given Gandhi bow, which was given by Agni, which was in the custody of Varun, used by Soma, given the two quivers which would supply unlimited number of bow arrows, and a chariot, the flag mark of Hanuman. That was given by Agni to Arjun. So Arjun took that and started helping Agni in his mission. And Agni told Agni, okay, you start now burning. He started his mission. And Arjun with his expertise, and same time Arjuna also gave Sudarshan Chakra to Krishna. So then Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra and Arjuna with his bows and arrows, whoever animal try to escape from the fire, is to shoot them and again throw them into the fire. Not only that, any bird which used to fly and try to escape from airway also is to shoot them. And this gradually, the news, the demigods went to Indra and they said, this is not a time of annihilation. I don't know why Agni is so furious and burning the whole forest. That time Indra came with the rain clouds and started showering the rain. But initially, the fire was so big, so huge, that water evaporated immediately. when Indra was powerful, most powerful clouds and started pouring more and more rain. This time Arjuna with his expertise placed an umbrella over the whole forest so that not even single drop could fall into it. Indra became very angry in the fight, and Arjuna and defeated Indra along with the universe. He could satisfy Agni. The point in the whole, then Agni, after having done that whole therapy for himself, he again regained back his luster, regained back his strength, regained back his appetite, and started growing it. So the point is that, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purpose, even the higher planetary system are also not devoid of these four things, Janma, Murtu, Jara, Vyadhi. And the only place where these four doesn't exist is Vaikuntha, which is beyond this material condition. So, Prabhupada encouraged, in this purpose, encouraging the devotee that that's why we have to perform the devotional service nicely, so that we don't just go to the higher planet, but we transcend this all material planet and go back to the spiritual world where life is eternal, where life is full of bliss, where life is full of knowledge. And that is what is very much goal of the practicing devotee, to bring back to the spiritual world. Why? Not just to escape from the miseries of this world, but in order to serve Krishna better, in a better situation, with a better resources, with a better facility. That is the goal of a devotee by practicing the devotion service. And Dhruva Maharaj will come in further verses also to explain. We are just on 26th verse. But it further verse also explains how Dhruva Maharaj, while giving back to God, it also remembers his mother also, because she had guided him. So while going back to God also, he was not thinking of his own welfare, but he was also concerned about those who had helped him in his endeavor. And Dhruva Maharaj is one of the few devotees, especially, who had gone back to the spiritual world in the same body. So there are very few cases where the person doesn't have to change the body or give up the material body, or give up this existing body, not material, but existing body, so we go back to the spiritual world. He went in same body. That means by the dint of his devotional service, he transformed the same body into the spiritual body, which is fit to go back to the spiritual world. That was the credibility of Dhruva Maharaj. So in this verse, of Dhruva Maharaj going back to Godhead, the Vishnu Dutas are explaining where he is going. They are giving him knowledge. Parampadam, that's what word is used. Parampadam is the supreme. Param is supreme. Padam is the place or situation. The supreme place where they are taking him, transporting him, so that they are also reminding him the promise given to you by Lord Vishnu is going to be intact, and according to that promise only they are taking to that place where no one, not even your ancestor, also had gone previously. That place is exclusively made for Dhruva Maharaj, because that was his desire. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, any question, any doubt, clarification, comment?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat Pranams.
Dandavat Pranams.
Yes, excellent class it was. I just had one question. You said that in order to go back to Godhead, we need to fulfill all our duties, responsibilities, and be in the four ashrams and then proceed in that way, we don't have much desire. But then what is the case for brahmacharis, especially in the four sampradayas?
Usually, according to Vedic system, the brahmachari life is meant for that only particular phase of life. But there are, this what I said is about the, in general, there is always the two things. One is the, in general, what happens, naturally what should happen or normally what happens. And there's another thing of exceptional cases. There's always a rule of exception for any situation, any circumstances of life. So in case of brahmachari, it can be considered an exception. But that renunciation also doesn't guarantee you that as a brahmachari, you are going to go back to Godhead. It doesn't guarantee you. Brahmachari ashram is just a facility where you can perform a devotional service without much getting distracted by other things. So being in brahmachari ashram doesn't mean that you are guaranteed or you are going to confirm ticket that you are going to go back to Godhead. No, it's not like that. It's just a facility for you to perform your devotional service in a better way. So they are that the brahmachari, the renunciation which is shown by brahmachari initially doesn't mean it is a mature renunciation. It might be an initially a very kind of when you sow the seed and you get a small few leaves, that kind of renunciation. Over that period of time, it can mature. So until unless our renunciation is mature, or our devotional service is also mature, devotional food is also mature, you know, chance of going back to God.
Okay, I understood, Prabhuji. So that means the tag of brahmacharya does not guarantee one a chance to go back home to Godhead, but we sometimes see that some brahmacharis, they serve very well, but then again they are pulled back towards their family. I have picked up this question because I'm the case that happened in ISKCON Bhopal. So there were brahmacharis, their parents pulled them back and they had to resume back to their duties and responsibilities of taking care of their aging parents. So in that context, I wanted to know, what does the Bhagavatam enlighten us with? Like,
Bhagavatam talks about the devotional service. Bhagavatam doesn't talk about the practicality. The practicality are they are being stressed or explained in other scriptures like Ramayana, Mahabharata, where responsibility is also given prominence in the scripture. So performing responsibility is one of the important things. Even Bhagavatam also, when after Dhruva Maharaj, the lineage of Manu was not going ahead or not proper king, no proper kings were there. That time Brahmaji goes to the Priyavrat who was performing tapasya. And he asked the Priyavrat to come back again, get married and procreate children so that the progeny will continue. So there is an example in Bhagavatam where the person was in renounce order, was requested again go back to the family life, start family and continue his responsibility or fulfill his responsibility. Hare Krishna, I hope this answers your question.
Yes, yes, Prabhuji. Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the very beautiful class and very nice story, Prabhuji. I have heard like some part of it for the first time. So, Prabhuji, I missed the name of the king you were saying who was doing yajna for years and years. So
Shweta King.
What's that?
Shweta King.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, anybody else has any questions? Comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for the very very wonderful class and the detailed story of the Gandhar Prashna. Thank you so much Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
So should I end the stream?
Has any questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Thank you very much. Very much for getting class. We are very grateful to you, Prabhuji. If nobody has any questions, can we end this call here? Thank you, Prabhu. Your valuable time. Look forward for your assistance.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Very nice class.
Paying obeisances to all the devotees.
Ishta Krupa Sindhu Bheva Chapitanam Avanibhyo Vishnu Vidyo
Namah. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki
Jai. Granth Rashi Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shila